Do the twist.
Exactly. Stone Creek Coffee Podcast, episode 25. So our next episode after this is going to be our year anniversary. And I don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but I promise we'll try and do something special with it. Today we're going to talk about espresso pulling at home, because it seems to be kind of a hot topic. A lot of home baristas really struggle with getting a nice shot of espresso, and there's some pretty big variables that get overlooked in this process. People run into a lot of frustration because the espresso they're pulling at home doesn't look or taste like what they're getting at their local specialty coffee shop. So hopefully we can provide some guidance into why that is. If we can't fix it just through our discussion today, we can at least get you set in the right direction, hopefully. So Christian, if we're talking about pulling great espresso at home, where do we start, or where would you start?
The first thing that I would look at is understanding what type of machine that you have, because understanding what type of machine you have is going to give you some information on how you should dial everything in and what real expectations you can have for the espresso that you are crafting. If you went out and you spent $4,000 on a Linea Mini, good for you. You're off to a great start. You should be able to pull espresso just like we do in cafe.
I actually looked into buying one of those because I'm trying to convince my wife that we need a home espresso machine. She's not as convinced as I am. She says, well, you work where there's like three in one building. I said, yeah, but on the weekend, and we just got a house farther away from a cafe, so we're not like right next door to the one in Bayview like we used to be. So, but she didn't fly for that. So most of us don't have the price of a car to drop on a home espresso machine.
So. No, most of those home machines are maybe $50 to $100.
And they, those cheap ones.
They're inexpensive ones, and I think I got one from a thrift store. And they do give you some challenges. The first thing you should really look at is whether you have a tank-driven machine or a pump-driven machine. And you will know you have a pump-driven machine if you turn on the espresso machine and it sounds like a fish tank, because you're using the same basic type of motor to use pressure from a pump to push it through the bed of espresso, and also to steam the milk. So one pump, one little heating element for two things, that usually does not yield great espresso.
And most machines are sort of run off of that. Most of the cheap machines are run off of that system, or even the boiler ones. I've seen really bad, not boiler, tank. Yeah, there are some really bad tank-driven machines as well. Because then it's just steam pressure that sort of runs the whole thing. And temperature control is kind of a pain in the butt with that particular setup.
So what I usually do when I get a new piece of equipment, I mean, I like to geek out about it a little bit too much. But I have a really nice probing thermometer. And what I probably do is I'd stick the thermometer. I think Drew likes the word probing a little bit too much right now.
Stick the thermometer. I use my probe thermometer and I stick it.
Yeah.
You keep going.
I'd place it right underneath the... I turn on the group head and see what temperature the water is coming out. Because if it's too hot, if it's too cold, again, you're gonna have to temper your expectations a little bit. You might get a nice shot of espresso, but if you're not running between 195 and 205... you're not going to get a good shot of espresso.
Mm-hmm.
So if you happen to be in the right range, I'd also keep that thermometer there and get a sense for how long you can run that group head before it starts losing pressure, before it starts losing temperature, because that'll give you about the window you should be shooting for brewing a good shot of espresso. Let's assume you have a bad machine at home.
And
let's say bad as in not ideal for brewing standards. And you want to figure out how to dial it in.
Yeah, and just for reference, I think it's important that we sort of review what standards are. Christian mentioned the water temperature, 195 to 205 definitely being optimal. We did a whole episode on water. It was like our fifth episode. You should go back and listen to that, because that's super important variable, what's going into your machine. And then pressure is important too. whether or not your machine executes it well, the water pressure going through the coffee should be measured in terms of pressure at about 9 bars. And plus or minus a bar can throw off your espresso extraction pretty dramatically. So hopefully you'd have a machine that would measure that pressure, but if you're operating on a $50 to $100 machine, you're not. That said, I would recommend if you're thinking about dropping a Franklin on an espresso machine, I would say take your time and think about it and consider investing somewhere in the $600 range, because that'll at least get you in the ballpark of a machine that can actually operate somewhat close to these ideal variable performance levels we're talking about. That $50 to $100 range is going to be really tough to deal with, even though there are some, as Christian mentioned, there's some tricks you can pull, assuming you're operating with less than ideal equipment, and we can get to those.
Yeah, I'd throw a quick shout out, because I'm sure someone will have a question like, well, what espresso machines do you recommend for that price range? I'd recommend checking out a website called clivecoffee.com, C-L-I-V-E. They're kind of a specialist for at-home espresso machines, and they have some really awesome recommendations. You can find something in that $500 or $600 range. I think it's a Breville. It's supposed to be pretty solid.
No, Breville makes some great equipment. Shout out to two of my buddies on the social medias, Brian Bikey and Brian Sheely. Those guys run a podcast called I Brew My Own Coffee, which it's more of a sort of wide swath look at the home brewing scene. And it's just really kind of well done, and I know those guys use a lot of the Breville equipment, especially the dual boiler Breville espresso machine, which I really want. That runs you about $1,200, but it's worth the investment if you're an avid home espresso enthusiast. So you could reach out to those guys as well. I'm sure they'd be willing to give you some feedback on their experience with that equipment.
All right, so
back to worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario are trying to dial in your variables. It's the same thing. It's the exact same process you would do if you're doing a manual brew or our baristas doing cafe. So what we're trying to do in an espresso machine is we're taking 18 to 20 grams of espresso, usually, and trying to get a brew that's about 2 ounces in about 20 to 30 seconds. I would use that as your basic window. However, a lot of home espresso machines have baskets that are a lot smaller than 18 grams. So what you really need to do is you need to get yourself a little kitchen scale. They run maybe $15. Like, you're already dropping $500 on an espresso machine. Get yourself a $15 kitchen scale. Set your portafilter on it. Tear it out. Weigh how much espresso is in there fully. Like, when you have a full basket, how much espresso fits in there?
Or how many coffee grounds?
How many coffee grounds are in there? Yeah,
right.
Totally, yeah. And that'll give you a sense, because if you are dosing 20 grams into that basket and it's just falling all over the countertop, then you know it's a smaller basket. A smaller basket will require a shorter brewing time and will likely get you a little less finished coffee. But you're always shooting for that ratio. If it was 18 to 20 grams, 20 to 30 seconds, about 2 ounces. Scale down proportionally.
Yeah, I think a big mistake that people make with these cheaper machines that don't have big baskets to hold the coffee in their portafilter is they know sort of the parameter of 2 ounces. Some people pull bigger shots even, but they'll use the equivalent of like 12 grams of coffee in a coarse grind and then pull 2 ounces of final beverage, quote-unquote espresso, out of that. And what they've done is really over-extract their grind or their grounds, and it's going to taste really watery. It's going to taste almost like an Americano with bad coffee that way, because what's in that puck of coffee in the espresso machine is not enough to give you what you need to pull a great shot of espresso. You've underdosed. You don't have enough coffee. And then I think the other big variable tied to that is your...
Talk about our tamp?
No, grind size.
Grind size. You're talking about grind size.
Yeah.
Our brains are in different places here. Yeah, grind size.
Tamp is important, though. But grind size, I think, first. And I think this is where people get in the most trouble with home espresso machines. All the money and focus goes into the machine, potentially. Very little goes into the grinder.
So in order to espresso well, at least in cafe, we have a grinder called the Vario K30. And what it does is it gives us a really wide range of grind sizes, so we can really dial in our espresso.
That's a $1,500 machine, though.
Yes. If you want to do espresso at home, you cannot use a blade grinder. You cannot use really inexpensive burr grinders because they don't give you the precision you need to really dial in your espresso. Another mistake that people make is they go out and they buy a really nice grinder and they have a really inexpensive espresso machine, and then they take the grind too fine and they end up backing up the machine because the machine can't handle it. If you have a pump-driven machine, you're actually going to take a grind that's a little coarser and it will be a little faster. If you have a tank-driven machine, you can use the same kind of grind that we do here in Cafe, which is really, really fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think just a hack for those of you who don't have $600 to invest in a good grinder, which is almost what it takes to get you a grinder that will give you a solid espresso, it is far better for you to buy your beans and take them into your specialty coffee shop to grind for espresso than it is for you to try and, you know, get that grind, that fine grind at home. It's just not, you're not going to be able to do it without the right grinding equipment. So if your coffee is 2 weeks off grind, you're still going to pull better espresso if it was ground here than you trying to do it at home with a grinder that's just not built to grind at that capacity or at that particle size.
I totally agree with that. And, you know, if you really want to dial in a grinder and a cafe with your machine, talk to your barista. I'm sure they'd be happy to like grind a quarter pound. If you're willing to come back a couple times, we can dial it in and get you within a normalized window to where your espresso will start tasting really good. Because if you say espresso and you don't clarify what machine it is or whatnot, we're probably just going to do it super fine. Again, you're going to end up backing up your machine, or it'll be too coarse and you'll over-extract and have really watery espresso, none of which is good eats.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say.
So the other thing I was going to mention really quickly, when you are using these inexpensive espresso machines, make sure that you are just pulling espresso and not steaming the milk at the same time. Again, these machines are not built to be cafe machines. They are not industrial by any means. If you will steam milk at the same time that you are pulling your shots, you're going to dramatically change the water coming out of the espresso, out of the portafilter, and your espresso is going to taste like junk. Mm-hmm. So do one, let the machine recover, then do the other. You're going to have to sacrifice a little bit of quality, but in the end, it would be a better finished product.
We can make some recommendations in terms of machines at this point. Christian gave you that, what was that?
Clive Coffee.
Yeah, that. For you to get some more information in terms of equipment to use. But definitely, Breville's got some solid stuff. Even the Starbucks, like expensive $600 Starbucks machine, pretty solid. You can get a pretty decent espresso off of that if you use it well. If you're going cheap, I don't recommend that. It's hard to get a good espresso off of it. But be careful about galvanized steel in those machines, because it really sort of imparts a really metallic essence to your beverage, especially in terms of aromatics. The first espresso machine I ever had was in my Sunday school room when I was 14, just in the youth group at church, and we would brew Folgers as quote-unquote espresso. And man, that galvanized steel in the tank was crazy in terms of how much it impacted the final beverage. So I definitely don't recommend you use any sort of galvanized steel. Stainless is the way to go. Any of the high-quality espresso products are going to be stainless steel, not galvanized, not plastic. And you get what you pay for in terms of espresso brewing equipment. That's just a good rule of thumb. The more expensive it is, odds are it's probably going to operate a lot better than the cheap ones. There is a final variable that you should keep in mind, too. It's not maybe as pivotal as these others we've talked about, but you can definitely go wrong if you do it incorrectly.
And that would be tamping the puck of espresso. And so the puck is that disc of grounds that's been compacted in the portafilter. And a lot of these inexpensive machines, they have these little, like, knobby things on top where you're supposed to, like, jam it up and turn it. This does not give you a good puck of espresso.
No.
I would recommend spending it's maybe $15 for an inexpensive tamp. I think.
Yeah,
I found.
You can get an aluminum one from like Espresso Parts
or World Market. In fact, I got one out there.
Oh yeah, yeah. So the specs are good on them. They're maybe not super heavy, but it'll work.
Exactly, and that'll get you a nice grounds bed and give you a good place to start. Don't use that pushing up thing. Yeah. I've tried. It does not work.
And then you got a tamp sort of at the right weight, too, actually. Like, there's kind of a ballpark weight that tends to be appropriate, and it varies from barista to barista. But about how much weight do you think?
It's like 20 to 30 pounds of pressure. Does that sound right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're grinding at a fine enough grind to really yield the good stuff that coffee has for you, it's kind of in that range. If you're putting all of your body weight into it, though, like, just give up because you're going to hurt your wrist. And you're not going to get what you want out of that coffee.
A quick little hack for trying to figure out what 20 to 30 pounds of pressure feels like. If you have a bathroom scale at home, put a little plastic wrap over that scale because you don't want to get foot fungus on your portafilter. But put a little plastic wrap around it and then tamp your espresso portafilter on the scale and you will see how much pressure you're actually putting on it.
We actually have one of these in our training center. I don't know how often we actually use it, but we have one.
Yeah, I bought it. Brand new, still has plastic wrap on it. Never been used.
But a big mistake baristas, even in cafes with the right equipment, make is that I've seen them literally get up on their tippy toes and like put 100 pounds worth of barista weight into this tamp. And I'm like, listen, if you got to do that, you've got other problems. Like, just take a step back, redial in, save your arm and that portafilter and the coffee. Like, you're just not accomplishing anything by putting that much weight into it. If you're doing espresso right, it doesn't take much of a tamp.
Those of you that are real coffee geeks, you do have another solution out there. And there's a couple of different options. One's called the hand presso, and that's one that actually hooks up to your car, which is pretty sweet. There's also a hand pump portable espresso machine that uses it's like a bicycle pump that's hooked up to a hot water reservoir, and you use the bars of pressure from that to extract the espresso. There's another version that uses little cartridges of NO2 or CO2 to get you to that pressure, and these machines run about $150. And I've heard of some people getting some really good espresso off of it for $150. You don't get the steam wands, so you can't really froth the milk, but you could do that in a French press or a cup and just shake it. Works pretty well. But that way you can at least get a drinkable shot of espresso.
Yeah, and the science is right, because if your water temperature is right, your pressure is right, your puck is right, like then you can get good espresso. Those are the three major variables, plus your water quality. So, of course, it sort of leaves the latte up for grabs, but if you're just an espresso junkie, which I definitely prefer a straight espresso to a latte 9 times out of 10, that can work for you. There are some other options out there, and I will say options a little bit tongue-in-cheek, because a lot of people will say, hey, you want some espresso? This happened to me a couple of weeks ago, where I was over visiting someone's house, and I drank some of it because we always say we want to be courteous. Like, that's a big thing that coffee geeks must be, is not coffee snobs. We've mentioned that many times. You be courteous and you taste what people have for you and you learn and you grow. But there's sometimes it's just still bad. And one of these times happened to me a couple weeks ago with the mocha pot. Like, the mocha pot, I'm pretty convinced, can be used to... You can dial in a mocha pot to make great coffee, but it will never be espresso. Espresso, by definition, is a drink that comes from somewhere between 16 at a very low dose to 22, 23, even 24 at a very high dose grams of coffee. You're putting somewhere between 40 and 60 milliliters of water through that coffee at 9 bars of pressure, at a temperature of 195 degrees to 205 degrees. Those are pretty loose specs in terms of what espresso is. A mocha pot actually uses boiling water. It's a little percolator that pushes water through finely ground coffee to give you a really, really strong coffee beverage. not espresso. Really, really, really strong coffee. And in this case, it was really finely ground coffee that was roasted really dark. It was literally an Italian roast. Came from Italy. They really love their dark coffee. Italy, as much as France, had impacted dark roasting procedure, protocol, history. And I was left with this just intensely strong, muddy charcoal in my mouth. And not espresso was kind of disappointing. Some of you, that's your MO. Fantastic. If you're used to SCAA-defined espresso, though, it will leave you wanting.
I've never been able to dial in a mocha pot. I've tried and I've tried. I had one of those little ones that was supposed to go straight into a demitasse. I think that's why think there's espresso in them.
Right.
I have two or three of them at home, and they all suck. Like, I'm just terrible at it. It's really hard. I've tried on, like, plates that I can just adjust the temperature on it. Mm-hmm. I can't get them to work. I feel like such an incompetent person when I tried using these techniques.
Well, the whole concept of a percolator, if you like the siphon, it actually overcomes this because of the amount of space transfer and air transfer that happens to cool the water down. But if you're boiling water that then flows over coffee grounds in an insulated carafe, like a mocha pot or a metal percolator, you are putting water at too high a temperature over coffee grounds, which over-extracts them regardless of the amount of coffee grounds you have. So if that's where you're starting from the get-go, it's almost impossible to dial it in. That's if you are, again, used to traditional SCAA spec beverages. If it is your thing to have super strong, bitter, dark, thick coffee beverage, then this may be your thing. The mocha pot is super popular in Italy. You can't go to a gift shop in Italy without seeing a mocha pot. One of our cafe coaches, Betsy Smith, was in Italy last year and posted a picture to her Instagram that was just a wall full of these mocha pots because they're such a big deal over there. And if that's your thing, more power to you. It wasn't really my thing, though, and it is not, by definition, espresso. Another option that people are doing, more kind of a coffee geek alternative to espresso, and maybe that's the best way to define the mocha pot and this other method is an alternative to espresso, is a Aeropresso, or I guess that would be an Aeropresso. And it's a unique way to use the manual brewing method called the Aeropress.
It's all coffee science. Yeah, Aeropress espresso, or what do you say, Aeropresso?
Yeah.
As you just coined it. I don't think I've ever heard that term before.
It wasn't my term.
It's actually pretty good. It's not going to be espresso. It's not the same. You're not brewing it 9 bars. But you can get that ratio pretty well down, and you're going to have something that's probably about 4 or 5% TDS, or 4 or 5% total, yeah, TDS solution. Yep. And it tastes pretty dang good. You could probably put some milk in there and fool some people into thinking you brewed a shot of espresso. Be slightly sweet, slightly acidic. You have to updose, and you're going to have to push like a...
all the coffee.
Yeah. And it takes some really strong people a lot of pushing down on the Aeropress to get it to go. I've seen people that are really muscular just struggle with it. I'm not muscular, and I struggle with it.
Yeah, so make sure if you're going to do that, if you're going to brew an Aeropresso, fine grind is important. High dose, so somewhere in the 25 to 30 gram range is actually important. You're still going to shoot for that 195 to 205 degree brewing temperature. I would recommend putting your grounds in your Aeropress, blooming, but not for very long. So, like, we're talking 20 grams of water for somewhere in the realm of 15 seconds, and then pour on your additional water, stir it up, and then push it out, because you don't want the water to sit on those fine grind and that high dose very long. Otherwise, you're going to over-extract or under-extract certain aspects of the coffee. Very difficult to dial in, I'd say. Definitely not espresso. But you can make a pretty dope iced cappuccino or cold cappuccino with using that and a French press. So one of our old baristas who now works for La Colombe in Philadelphia, Jamie Pinkert, who's a just a great human being, taught me how to make the cappuccino with the French press. And it's just a process of putting whole milk in a French press and then kind of turning it somewhat sideways and then pumping it so that the screen up and down a whole bunch of times, which actually aerates the milk to where it gets really thick and frothy while it's still at a cold temperature. And if you pour that over a highly concentrated coffee solution, Aeropresso, for instance, you can make an amazing, relatively cold, cappuccino-ish type beverage. There's no definitions, there's no SEAA monitoring of such things, but man, is it good.
There are companies claiming to make these milk frothers out there that look just like a French press.
Or a nose hair trimmer.
Yeah. If you have a French press at home, this will work just fine. Just great. Just make sure you rinse it, because you don't want rancid milk getting in your coffee.
Right. Yeah, that's not good.
But yeah, it works. It works amazing.
Yeah, and those French presses do work way better than the nose hair trimmer style air or milk frothers. Those, I've seen those work. You sit over there over the milk for 20 minutes trying to get it to a good froth, and it just doesn't work great.
The last thing that we should mention, and it should be, you're listening to this, so hopefully a given, make sure you buy good coffee.
Yeah.
Make sure, like, you're never going to have a great shot of espresso from coffee that is a year old, really bad, really stale, too dark. I'm not going to say the R word, because I've had a good espresso that's had the R word in it, Robusta.
Oh, yeah.
But just make sure you're buying really good coffee. The better the coffee you buy, the better the potential you'll have in that shot of espresso.
Yeah, you're only ever as good as your coffee, and it's the same for a roaster, too. It's like, you can only screw it up. Like, so the coffee's there for you to pull the best out of it. Just in terms of some guidance, if you've got a good machine, you got your variables dialed in, and you're just like, hey, what coffee would you guys recommend? I mean, definitely, there's such a wide spectrum in espresso. The darker you get, the bigger crema you're going to get, big chocolate notes. And as you get lighter and lighter, if you end up with a really light roast, it's going to be like super acidic and juicy and powerful and like pop your eyes open. We offer two different kinds of espresso at Stone Creek. A bone shaker, which is tends to be lighter and fruitier and a little bit more acidic. And some people would call it sour. And then the green bike is kind of your everyday sort of milk chocolate, round, dark fruit. And it just depends on sort of what your taste is. The specialty coffee industry in general is going towards these really light roasted, really intense fruity espressos, which can be phenomenal, but can also be thin and astringent and yucky if done wrong.
Happens a lot.
Whereas traditionally, espresso tends to be darker and fuller and bigger, which can also be really yucky when done wrong as well, which happens a lot. Yeah. So just make sure that you get a coffee that sort of matches the taste profile you're looking for. And if you're in a good specialty coffee shop, they should be able to point you in the right direction in terms of what coffees would make the espresso you're looking to pull. So just to finish up, do your best to make sure you have a good machine. The cheap machines you may be able to manipulate to get a palatable espresso, very difficult. If you're looking to get something that can actually achieve the specs to get a good shot of espresso, like the machines at your local specialty coffee shop, you're looking to drop about $500 to $600 on the cheapest level. A really solid machine that'll steam you really great milk and pull you a great shot of espresso every time, I'd recommend the Breville 2 boiler. That's going to run you about $1,200 though. If you really want to spend, definitely go with the new La Marzocco Linea Mini, which is just a piece of machinery right there, but it'll run you $5,000. After your tax return, if you have no other obligations in your life, that may be for you. Or if you just got money to, you know, you're independently wealthy, maybe your grandpa invented sticky pads, like the notepads. Then make sure your grinder, I mean, your grinder's got to match the quality of your brewer. It's super important and often underemphasized. You have to have a grinder that achieves even particle size at a really fine particle size. And a lot of your kind of everyday market burr grinders even can't achieve that. Like, I know my grinder at home is no slouch, but it can't achieve the grind I would need for a great espresso.
And if you are listening, you're like, well, I still don't really know how to do this, but I have an espresso machine at home and I want to learn how to use it better, and I live near Milwaukee, check out our website, www.stonecreekcoffee.com, and we actually offer public classes to teach you how to use your espresso machine better. We offer them once a month, and they're really helpful 3-hour-long classes. You get a chance to work on our Nova Simonelli hands-on training with one of our barista trainers, and you will go home learning how to pull better shots of espresso, I guarantee it.
Finally, if you have other questions, you would like feedback on your machine or the equipment you're working with, email us at podcast@stonecreekcoffee.com. Also, if you'd like us to tackle a topic that is certainly pertinent to your coffee endeavors and your coffee path, let us know. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Our next episode is our 1-year anniversary of the Stone Creek Coffee Podcast, which feels good because it took about 3 months of iteration to get this thing rolling and to a place where we're comfortable with the product. Hopefully our time has been useful to you. Hopefully this has proven to be an educational tool for a lot of coffee geeks and aspiring coffee professionals. Definitely leave us any feedback you have. Head over to iTunes and leave us a review or send an email, as we said earlier. Or reach out to us on social media at Stone Creek Coffee. We do this because we love coffee and we love to share it. So any questions or feedback you have is beneficial to us, and we would thank you for it greatly. We're looking to do something special with the next podcast and would love to incorporate feedback and questions you have. So pass those our way. And we'll be reaching out to you again in 2 weeks. Until then, and as always, we are geeks.
And we are talking coffee.